This morning, we want to look into changing it up again. We looked into the glory of God, but we're going to take a story. We're going to sit in the area of Judges over the next couple of weeks. So specifically, I'm looking at Judges chapter 6 this morning, verses 1 through 16. Judges 6, verses 1 through 16. And what we're looking at the life of Gideon. The life of Gideon. Gideon was one of the judges in Israel. During this time in Israel's history, they didn't have any kings. They were in this transition. And they had rejected, basically, God as their sovereign overlord. And during this time, Israel was a clan structure. So basically, strongest clan ruled, but each clan had a leader. Well, during this time, every man did as they saw was fit, as they saw was right. We read that in Judges chapter 21, I think it's verse 25, 24. And so during this time, God would raise judges, would raise an individual from the clan to deliver his people. Because they had moved into the new land. We read that in Joshua. They moved into the promised land. And some of the tribes weren't able to remove all the clans, all the people that were there before them. The Amalekites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, all these different nations, they weren't able to remove them. And God says in Judges specifically that he left those nations there to do what? To test the people's hearts, to see if they would follow after him. So this is where we pick it up in Judges chapter 6. We've gone through a couple of judges by this time, Othniel, Shamgar, and Deborah. And each of these judges progressively gets a little bit, if you want to say, weaker. Othniel is the optimal judge. He's, we don't want to say, one of the purest judges. But as we move forward through each of these judges, they progressively get a little bit more wayward, and we come to Gideon. And Gideon is known as one of those judges that typifies Moses. He's almost like a Moses character type character. And when we say character, it's not fiction. He is a live person. He was a live person, a live judge in the tribe of Manasseh. Manasseh was what? One of the smallest tribes. And Gideon himself felt that he had nothing to contribute, nothing to give, of no value, of no worth in the whole structure in his tribe of Manasseh. Any of us ever felt that at some time, at some point in our life, that we've got nothing to offer? We have no value. People don't see me. People don't care. Kind of just walk through my life. Well, this is Gideon. This is who Gideon has been. So Judges chapter 6, verses 1 through 16. The people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian overpowered them. Overpowered Israel, and because of Midian, the people of Israel made for themselves the dens that are in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. For whenever the Israelites planted crops, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. They would encamp against them and devour the produce of the land as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance in Israel, and no sheep or ox or donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents. They would come like locusts in number. Both they and their camels could not be counted, so that they laid waste the land as they came in. And Israel was brought very low because of Midian, and the people of Israel cried out for help to the Lord. When the people of Israel cried out to the Lord on account of the Midianites, the Lord sent a prophet to the people of Israel, and he said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I led you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord, your God. You should not fear the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat underneath the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. And Gideon said to him, Please, sir, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of Midian. And the Lord turned to him and said, Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you? And he said to him, Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man. And he said to him, If now I have found favor in your eyes, then show me a sign that it is you who speaks with me. Please do not depart from here until I come to you. Bring out my present and send it before you. And he said, I will stay till you return. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning and the receiving of his word. We've just read about the suffering of the people of Israel at one time in their history. They were badly oppressed by the enemies around them. They were suffering because they had deserted God and worshipped idols. The people fled to the mountains and were hiding in caves and strongholds. They tried to provide for themselves by sowing seeds for the harvest. But when the harvest came, their enemies moved in and they seized everything. The Israelites were too weak to defend themselves. It brought them to such a low point that they cried out to God in desperation. They realized their mistake and they repented. God's response was to hear their cry, and he responded with grace. He called an unknown man, Gideon, to save the nation. If we read on in chapter 7, we know that Gideon eventually wins the fight against the enemies. He's successful. They were few in numbers, limited in resources, and with little confidence. But God was on their side. With God's intervention, they won the fight. This is a good reminder for us today when we face the problems that we do, is to remember it is not how big our problem is, but how big God is. It is not about how powerful our enemy Satan is, but it's how mighty God is. The Apostle John reminds us in 1 John 4:4, Little children, you are from God, and you have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Amen. That was the Apostle John. In Gideon's experience, we see how God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. There is strength in weakness. That is God's strength in human weakness. In other words, if we humble ourselves and trust God, he's able to do great things through us. Do we believe this? Gideon is not a prophet. He's not a priest. He's not a religious person. He does not belong to a royal family. He's not rich, nor is he famous. He's just an ordinary farmer. He's just a farmer. What kind of words are those? He's just you and me. He's the average Joe. But he's in the right place at the right time for God to use. God uses ordinary people. God needed someone. He heard the prayers, but he needed someone, and he found Gideon. God is doing the same in our generation. He looks at our situation, he hears the cries of his people, and he's looking for someone. There's work to be done, and God wants to look for someone who is available and someone who trusts him. You may be the person that God finds to be in a right place at the right time. You may be the right person for the job, for a work that God wants to do. God has placed us at different situations in life with unique opportunities and privileges, and he expects us to respond to his call. If we trust him and respond to him and do what he says, we can be surprised to see what God will do. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. So the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon and he says what? The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Gideon's like looking around like, who are you talking to? I'm a farmer. I'm not a warrior. I'm an administrator. I'm a clerk. I'm a plumber. I'm a carpenter. God looks at you and he says, there's a potential to be a mighty warrior. Secondly, God sees the potential in a person. From what we see here, Gideon was far from being a mighty warrior. He was hiding from the enemies. He was afraid. They were grinding wheat hidden so that it wouldn't be taken away. He has no confidence and saw himself as the least in the family belonging to the weakest clan. He was doubtful that the situation could change. He needed God to prove himself to him a couple of times. But the angel calls him a mighty warrior. He wasn't looking at Gideon in his present state. He saw what he could become with God's help. He saw what Gideon could become if he would trust God. Do we trust God? God sees more than what we can see. We see the problem, and the song goes, he sees the solution or the victory. We see our weaknesses, God sees the victory. We see the impossibility, but God sees the possibility. We need to learn to live by faith and not by what? Sight. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, Gideon could not see himself as a mighty warrior who would save Israel. Just like us today, many of us cannot see ourselves doing anything great for God. How do we see ourselves? Sometimes the image we have of ourselves is not only unhealthy, it's not biblical. Some see ourselves as nobody, almost close to being useless. We all have our times in that. I have my times in that. The truth is, we need to realign our understanding with the truth of God's word. God says, you are precious in my sight. The Bible says you are God's child, John 1:12. You are a joint heir with Christ, Romans 8:17. You are God's friend, John 15:15. You are a saint, Ephesians 1:1. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do what? Good works, which God has prepared for you in advance to do, Ephesians 2:10. You are also a citizen of heaven, Philippians 3:20. And most importantly, we each belong to God, 1 Corinthians 6:20. We are equally important in God's sight. There is no hierarchy in heaven. We are mistaken if we think that God only uses special people. God knows who you are, and he's counting on you to do his work. God is counting on you. God is desiring of you. How is God going to save Israel? Who is going to fight the enemies? You are, he tells Gideon. Imagine Gideon's looking around like, who? Me? I'm a farmer. God looks at you and he says, you're going to do this. What's our response? You've got the wrong person. You've got the wrong zip code. He tells Gideon, you are. It sounds scary, but that's the truth. Who is going to save the world today? Who's going to save Israel? You are. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, 19 to 20, In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. You are ambassador of Christ. You're an agent for him. Look at the interesting dialogue in Judges 6. In verse 13, Gideon says something like this. I'm not so sure God is with us. Look at the problem we have. Where are all the miracles, the older believers tell us? We're suffering now. It's almost like, where are you, God? Why are you not doing anything? And then the Lord responds in verse 14, I'm right here, and I'm sending you. And Gideon says, no, no, it can't be me. He sounds eerily similar to who? To Moses. I can't speak. I get tongue-tied. I'm afraid of public speaking. Don't put me in front of a mic. I surely can't stand before royalty. God says, don't worry about what you're going to say. I'll put the words in your mouth that you need to speak when the time comes. Sound familiar? We want God to do something, and when God says, all right, I'm sending you, we say what? Not a chance. No way. Not me. We like God to do the work, to solve our problems. We wish that he would without our involvement. But God's pointing to us and saying, you can do this. You need to do this. We say, help the poor, but we're not giving. We pray, save the lost, but we're not bringing friends. We say, comfort those who are sad, but then are we visiting them? The truth is, God is desiring you and I to work with him. God wants Gideon to trust him, to go tear down the idols, to trust him and fight the enemies. God promises to stay with him and give him the strength he needs. God gives him assurance after assurance that his plan will surely succeed. But Gideon has to do something. He has to go. He has to get up. He has to take action. So Gideon does. He goes and he tears down the idol and he tears down the Asherah pole at night when no one else can see, when no one else will be aware, because he's still afraid. He's still scared. Is God really going to be with me? Well, let's just hedge the bet. Let's do this at night. Well, unfortunately for Gideon, people noticed the next day. And it was like, well, who did this? Gideon did. Well, let's go talk to his dad. this is deserving of death. And what does his dad do? What any good father would do. You're not touching my kids. You're going to have to go through me before you can get to them. And that's not going to be a pleasant experience. No, his father says, if Baal is God, surely he can defend himself. And so what does Gideon's name? Gideon is renamed what? Jerubbaal, meaning what? Contends with Baal. What a great name. That's a warrior's name. Contends with Baal. The transformation is taking place. God's saying, I said I'll be with you, I'll protect you, I'll be with you. And here's one incident. You took down that idol, you took down that Asherah pole at night. But you know what? I'm with you. Your father stands with you. I stand with you. And then Gideon is on his way to a transformation into an incredible leader for that time. He has to go. It's not something that he particularly wants to do. It's not something that he particularly likes. It's not something that he is confident about. Gideon has not been built up. He's not been trained in the ways to handle a sword or to be a warrior. He's a farmer. But unless you go, unless you trust, will you see the miracles of God? Unless we go, unless we trust, we will not see the miracles of God. Gideon decided to trust. And he saw what? A miracle of God. You see, the answer to the cries of the people, the answer to their prayers, comes when Gideon says what? He says yes to God. Gideon is God's answer to the people. Gideon is God's answer to the people. I bet you he wasn't thinking about that at that time. But God has bigger plans. And he wants to use you in those plans. What is the thing that God has been calling you and I to do? Can we trust him and say yes? Are you going to wait and expect the answer to drop from the sky? Or are you going to do what is necessary and be the answer to the prayers or the cries of the people? That is the question to Gideon. That's the question to us. God's plan will succeed no matter how big your challenge. No matter how big the challenge, God's plan will succeed. Because if we profess a sovereign God who is in control and is all-powerful and all-knowing, how can his plan not succeed? The key to success in meeting life's challenges is to what? To trust God's way. To trust his process. Not our own, not man's. Trust in God. Sometimes we are very tempted to take shortcuts, to use our own ways to solve our problems. You ever taken a shortcut? Have all those shortcuts worked out? Most times they don't. There's a reason why. Gideon learns that success comes only when we follow God's instructions. Every step of the way. God taught him this lesson through a very odd command. Chapter 7 tells us of Gideon going to war, and he was able to recruit 32,000 fighting men. That's a good army. That's a good number. But then the Lord says to him and says, what? That's too many. What? It's better to have more than less, is it not? Right? No. Because there's too many. And if you go to war with that many men, the men are going to take the glory. Humanity will take the credit. My glory is my glory, not yours. I want the people to know that it is God who operates. It is God who leads this people. It is God who rules. And God is the God of the impossible and the possible. The Lord says, tell any man who is fearful of fighting, he can go back home. 22,000 men left. 22,000 left and returned to the safety of their homes. They didn't want to be there. They didn't want to fight. So now that leaves 10,000. Okay, well, Lord, that's an okay number. We can still, I think, survive. No, that's still far too many. Am I listening to a deceiving spirit? Gideon might say to himself, maybe I missed the message, the note. No, the Lord says, you still have too many. Have the 10,000 men drink at the stream. Those who bend down and lap water like a dog are to be sent packing. Those who bend down on their knees and cup water in their hands and drink, keep them. 9,700 men go home. Quick calculation, how many does that leave? Too few. 300. Too few. 300 men are left in Gideon's fighting squad, and God says, yep, that's about right. Are you crazy? Gideon could have packed up and gone, nope, find another guy. I'm not going to lead this group. We're heading to a massacre. But God says, it's about my glory, not yours. He says, I'm the God that if you trust me, I will perform a miracle. Do we believe in miracles today? Do we believe that God still operates? That he still answers? According to Judges 7:12, the enemies who had gathered in the valley were as thick as locusts, and their camels could no more be counted than the sand on the seashore. But the battle is the Lord's. There is strength and weakness when God is in control. And with 300 men, Gideon wins. We're reminded, Zechariah 4:6, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. God wanted Gideon to be very convinced that the victory had nothing to do with human strength or strategy, but that it's all about God. It's not about you. It's about God. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? What better story could illustrate that principle than this one? We may feel like Gideon. We may feel like the least of the least. We may feel less than ordinary. Do we have doubts? Do we lack confidence? The Lord shows us through Gideon's experience that ordinary people, with all our weaknesses, with all our doubts, with all our fears, with ordinary means, with all our limitations, with all our lack of resources, we can accomplish extraordinary things when we trust God. In the words of Paul, God can choose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. God gets the glory. 1 Corinthians 1, 27-29. God uses ordinary people like you and me. God sees the potential in us, and he is desiring of you. He wants to count on us. We are the bridge between a problem and a solution. Say yes to God, and he can accomplish his great plan through each of us. We can all share the same experience as Gideon if we are willing to trust God and say yes to his call. God is still looking for ordinary people today. Do we believe this? The challenge is this. Look at how you can be a bridge to a solution for another person's problem and act. That is the church. That's the family of God. That's brothers and sisters. That's living in community. That's loving God and loving people, loving our world. Let's pray. I must confess, Lord, that there are definite times where I feel less than capable, less than able. Where I too just want to give up and take my place in the stands. That's when I forget to trust. It's when I forget to remember how faithful you are and what you've done, who you are, that nothing's impossible for you. That you're the God of all possibilities. I don't think that there should be trouble. I don't think that I should experience trouble. But you said that we will have trouble in this world, even as a follower of Christ. Well, there's times when I don't feel that I can be a bridge between a problem and a solution. But I simply need to trust. You put each of us as the person we are in the place we are for your time, for your purpose. If we can't have confidence in ourselves, Lord, let us have confidence in you. You know what you're doing. Encourage us to follow your way, to trust and to obey, as Gideon did. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen.